Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye. So we can, so that we can minister into the deep places of your heart and give you a chance to repent.
Amen.
One amen. The word repent, metaneo, means to change the way that you think. The Lord invited you in here to an opportunity to change the way that you think this morning. So if you've come in here to keep your thinking and get it grounded in even deeper, I am so sorry to massively disappoint you. Because I have come here to change your and my thinking to align it properly to the kingdom of God. So because of that, one of the things that I think the Lord has given me a life verse, Proverbs 29 says that the fear of man brings a snare. But if I want to be safe, then I need to put my trust in God. The fear of man brings a snare. I think it's Proverbs 29:27. And in ministry, one of the things that affects the power of the word, the power of what God calls us to minister, is the ones that we minister to, how they're going to receive it. And it says in Jeremiah, it says, don't look at their faces. So I don't know what I'm supposed to look at on y'all, but I'm not supposed to look at your faces. I think what the Holy Spirit is prompting there to is that I'm supposed to look at your hearts and minister to your hearts. And sometimes the medicine doesn't quite go down the way it's supposed to go down. But here's what I'll tell you. I love you. I'm so honored to have this place, to have this pulpit. And because of that, I want you to know that I will always be excessively diligent about making sure that I minister from the Spirit of God through the truths of the Word of God, and it's directed to your heart. So anything outside of that is fluff. And it's not what I'm here for. That's why, you know, I don't stand up here and tell preacher stories and 3 points in a poem and dance a jig for you and do all that stuff, because we don't have time for that. This world needs people that are filled with the Spirit of God, that are faithful and powerful with the King and His kingdom. And you need it also so that you manifest the truths in your life. And I'm kind of pre-qualifying what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach another dangerous message. You're going to have an opportunity to take the things that I say this morning and to take them out of the context of why and how I'm saying them and go and live your life in a selfish way and actually have Scripture to stand on to do it if you manipulate it just right. You do? I believe that the Word of God is a double-edged sword. One edge cuts away, and one edge, if you're not careful, can cut you. And this is how we know that there are people that are all over this, especially our region. They're all over our region, that they are standing on Bible verses so that they can hurt and cause problems in other people's lives and in their own lives. You know, just like what I said before, sit up here. I said, you know, the church is not a building. I said, we are the church. You know, and people have taken statements like that. I said, well, since I am the church, I don't need to be in a church. So in other words, they have a relationship with the head and not the body. You know how that makes Jesus feel? Guys, try that with your wife. Just have a relationship with one particular part of her body. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why y'all are thinking that way. It would be a long way down off the top of your roof. Amen. And people do Jesus that way all the time. And because he's so gracious and he allows any relationship with him, because it's better than no relationship with him, people qualify it by using statements like, we are the church, so I don't need to be part of a church. I can tell you this, I could not have done what I've done with the hundreds of people's lives that I touched this week, going into and out of 50, 60, 70 homes and weeping with those that weep and helping the hurting. I could not have done that if it wasn't for you. Because I would have had to go to a job, I would have had to do all the things that I do, but you guys support me so that I can be free to go and minister to people. Of your substance, I had the ability to do that. That's the church. That's the body of Christ. You know, the head is powerless to affect change in this world without the body. Amen. I'm going to preach on that one day. It's called Max Headroom. But for those of you that are my age or older, you remember a TV show called Max Headroom. Max Headroom. And it was a little talking digital head, and it did all these things. So anyway, one day I'm going to preach that sermon, and it's going to be fun. Not today. I want you to go to Colossians chapter 2, please, and we're going to start right at the very beginning. The book of Colossians was written by the Apostle Paul to a church that he had never physically seen. It was a sister church to the churches in the region called Macedonia, or a sister church to the Galatian church. And he had never physically laid eyes on this church, and I don't know if he ever did. So he wrote this letter to people that he never met. The reason I'm saying that is because you are people that the Apostle Paul never met. There's a lot of powerful truth in here that can be directly applied to our Christian life. Colossians chapter 2, starting right at the very beginning. For I would that you would know what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Lena, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. I want you to know about the great conflict in the heart of a true minister that consumes their thinking 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for you to see the promises of God come into your life. I can't remember the last time Kay and I have been on a date that our conversation hasn't been you. I can't remember the last time of prayer that I've prayed to the Lord that the conversation hasn't been you. Your family, your children, your finances, your health. Those of you that have struggled with physical problems for any longer than 5 minutes, it breaks my heart to not manifest fully every single time all of the truths that Jesus Christ has paid for at the finished work of the cross. But I will. It breaks my heart to know some of you are struggling financially, that you don't have enough to give to every good work, which is God's definition of prosperity. Because you are the people that need to be trusted with wealth. Because I know what you do with it. It breaks my heart, and I pray for it. When you read verses like this, I want you to put yourself on the other side and sometimes think about the writer and not just the writee. I want you to know, the Apostle Paul wrote to people that he'd never met, I want you to know what's going on the inside of those that labor in ministry for you. You need to know that. There's a great conflict that we have for you. For you that are in Lena and in Pearl City. Verse 2, that your heart might be comforted. If your heart is not at a state of peace and comfort this morning, I want you to open up a little bit and give the Word of God an opportunity to change that. If you don't leave here comforted and in peace from this message, then I don't feel like that I've accomplished what I've called here to accomplish. I'm not going to say I might have failed, but I want you to know that here's the direction that I'm trying to get to. Here's the plan. This morning, I want you to have comfort, and I want the peace of God to sit down on the inside of you so that you're at a place and a state of rest and trust in Him to where all blessings flow. That your heart might be comforted, being knit together, there's the church, being knit together in love. Not knit together in the solidarity of a haircut, not knit together in the special way that we dress together, not the special handshake, not the t-shirt, not the fact that we can all say, I go to this church, but being knit together in love. Love. Selfless. Agape love. Jesus Christ kind of love. Cross love. Beaten love. Not thinking about me love. Thinking about you love. That's what I want to knit us together. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one hurts, we all hurt. Being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. That scripture is loaded and I don't want to unpack all of it, but I'm telling you that there are some deep truths in there that you should go back later and delve into. Verse 3, in whom, talking about Christ Jesus, are hid all. Say all. All treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All. Do you want wisdom and knowledge to affect your life? Would you like to be able to make decisions that are always right? Would you like to have knowledge of things that are going on? Do you say on a regular basis through the course of a day, I just don't understand. I just don't know. I just don't get it. Would you like to not ever say that again? Okay. All of those answers are in Him. Where is He? In you. In you. So all the answers that you need for anything, anytime, anywhere, about anything, are in you. And I love how the Word of God calls it a treasure. A treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is knowing what God knows. Knowledge is knowing what to do with that knowledge. So not only do you know what God knows, but you know what to do with what you know. All those treasures are in Christ Jesus. All means all. Right? In the Greek, all means all. All those treasures. You know, there's wisdom that is not to be treasured. There's knowledge that's not to be treasured, and the world is full of it. The world will tell you, you are a fool for giving money to that preacher. Fool! Stupidest thing you'll ever do, give money to a church. Don't you know what they do with that? They go gold plate their toilets. I'll tell you what, if you ever stop by my house, you're welcome to come in and go to the bathroom. While you're in there, you might need to clean it. They're not gold plated. And let me say this. What if I did? What if I gold-plated my toilet? I'm hoping this is messing with you. Has anybody ever heard of heaven? What do you think things are made out of up there? You know the streets are made out of gold? The streets, the place where people walk. The thing that's the lowest underneath your feet, they're made out of gold. We don't honor the things that God honors. We don't think the way God thinks. We don't have knowledge the way God has knowledge. We don't have wisdom the way God has wisdom. So therefore, we allow the world to come in and tell us about its logic that changes the way we think, and then we reject it when God comes along and says there's something way better than what you've ever experienced. So you can have the wisdom of this world. And it says in James, it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. You know, the devil will teach you how to be poor. He'll convince you to keep your money. Never do anything with it because you ain't got enough. You never will have enough. You know, there's people that hide thousands and millions of dollars in mattresses. I read a story not long ago about a guy that did that, had hundreds of thousands of dollars in a mattress, had a fire because he didn't trust the banks. Oh, how'd that work for you, buddy? That's the wisdom of this world. Amen. Amen. There's a wisdom of God. There's a knowledge of God that I want you to get here. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you. So he's writing this. He's making a truth. He's making a revelation available so that you are not deceived or beguiled. What he's saying is to a church that he's never been to, he's never met. He's saying, this is the deception that's going to flow through you eventually. It's either there or it's going to be there. I'm writing to you. I'm writing a letter to you as the apostle of God, the sent one of God. I'm writing to you so you will not be beguiled because I know it's either there or it's coming. This is what's going to happen to you if you don't listen to what I'm going to say. I write this so that you will not be beguiled by enticing words. This is one of the reasons that our church is not larger than it is. I'm not going to entice you. I'm not going to do it. If there's problems in your life, I'm going to say it. Sorry. And I know we've lost a lot of folks because I've identified things in their life that they need to deal with. But you know what? I'm accountable for your souls. Accountable for your souls. Do you know what that weight is like? You have no idea. You know what you're accountable for? A dog. A mortgage payment. I'm accountable for your souls. Look, if I've said something to you that's offended you, if I've gotten into your sandbox and you wanted me out, and I didn't get out as quick as you wanted me out, I'm sorry. I really am. I'm sorry. But I'm accountable for your souls. I don't know how else to do it. I haven't perfected ministry yet. Give me another 100 years, I'll get close. But I haven't done it yet. But here's what I tell you. I can see things that are in your life that are going to run you into a wall at full speed and potentially break you beyond repair. And I don't want to watch it. Because I love you. This is what exactly the Apostle Paul is saying. I'm giving you an opportunity to repent, to change the way you think. When you hear hard things from the pulpit, when you hear hard things from Pastor Dennis, when you hear hard things that doesn't necessarily make sense to you, don't just immediately reject it because maybe the way that you think about things making sense is not the way God thinks about things making sense. You follow me? This I say, lest any man beguile you with enticing words. One of the ways that I can tell you that you're probably being drawn away from where God wants you to be is because people are going to entice you. Hey, don't you know that if you were a part of my super cool group, you'd have more opportunity to be who you really are. You're so pretty. Did I tell you how pretty you are today? Did I tell you how much I love your eyes? Your eyes are so amazing. Oh, you're just the best thing since sliced bread. Does that sound enticing? When's the last time you seen Jesus walking through the pages of your Bible and he walked up on somebody and said, I just had to stop and tell you how pretty you are. I mean, when I made you, I really did a good job. Not one time. He spoke into the hearts of people's mind. You know what most time he said? This is not, you're not living the way that you're called to live. Hey, prostitute caught in the act of adultery, I give you no condemnation for anything that you've ever done, but you were not created to live this way. You should go and sin no more. Amen. Hey, Peter, thanks for being bold and trying to correct me, but get behind me, Satan. Love ya. Amen. Enticing words. I'm not going to stand up here and entice you. I'm going to tell you the truth. Accept it or reject it. And today, one of the main truths that I want you to get is that you believing that your performance in some way is affecting God or affecting you in a positive way is one of the greatest lies that the enemy has ever told you about. Ever. God gives a rip about your performance. He didn't create you to be a good little lapdog, to be a little puppet on a string, and to perform for Him. He's not bored. He doesn't need your performance. The kingdom of God is not asking for your performance. The Father is asking for your heart. And this is a hard truth, because we've been trained since the day we were born to today that your performance is how you're accepted with people. It's the only way you're accepted. When you're a little bitty baby and you go poo-poo in the potty, what do you get? You get candy, you get celebrations, you'd say throw you a party because you went poo-poo in the potty. You know what happens a year later if you don't go poo-poo in the potty and you go poo-poo in the bed? You get a spanking. Amen. Right? If you perform the way mom wants you to perform, you get woo. If you don't perform the way mom wants you to get, you get woo. Right? Your acceptance or rejection in this world is based upon your performance. If you do what your boss wants you to do, you get accepted, you get raises, you get better positions, you get whatever. Right? If you do what your spouse wants you to do, you get whatever perks goes along with your spouse being happy. Right? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right? Come on now. And you think that you're going to just flip some magical switch in your head, and when you have relationship with God, that this is not going to filter through somehow. Let me prove it. Anybody ever prayed this way? Don't you dare raise your hand. God, I gave. Where's mine? Mm-hmm. God, I confess those healing scriptures. Why ain't I healed? Oh, it's right. It's your confession that gets you healed. Yeah. That's not how it works. It's the stripes of Jesus that has healed you. Your confession is to change you, not God. I said, kind of quiet in this UCC Pentecostal church that used to be Baptist one day. Amen. If you're not seeing the benefits of the kingdom of God in your life, then what you are probably going to do, because you've been so trained so long in this world, is you're going to perform harder. Right? If you don't see the prosperity that you want, you're going to tithe more diligently or give more. Because that'll make God bless you, right? You're going to just hold His feet over the fire until He coughs up some cash. Right? Come on now. I'm just saying it in language that makes all of our thoughts come into clarity. You know, I don't know why I struggle with depression and oppression all the time. I go to church. I'm a Christian. Supposed to have joy and peace and all these kind of things. So I guess I'm just a failure. I guess I'm just not one of those people that's supposed to be a happy Christian. So you go perform, try to make people like you, try to make you right. You put on your face. Anybody ever walked into church with the church face on? Amen. Right? Hide your pack of cigarettes. Right? Put an incense in, cover up the hangover. Why? Well, you don't want the folks at church to know. Why? You ever think about it? Why? Let me say this. If there's anybody in the world that you would actually want to know that you're struggling with the problems that you're struggling with, why wouldn't it be here? Why wouldn't it be in a place that you're actually loved, not based upon your performance, not based upon your holiness, not based upon anything you do or you don't do, but you're actually loved here in this place based upon what He's done. And if there's ever a place that people walk in with more of a performance-oriented attitude, to come in here that way. Well, let's say it this way. Do you worship different in this building than you do when you're by yourself with God in the car? Do you worship differently when you're with a group of people that are all dancing and raising their hands and shouting than you do when you're walking down the aisle at Walmart and God's goodness thoughts just encompass you? Do you stop in the middle of Walmart and goodness of God, praise you, Jesus? Of course you don't. Right? Because you'd be weird. Right? Crazy Christian. You know David did that, right? David done danced himself out of his clothes because the goodness of God just overwhelmed him. And you know, he's a king. He wasn't allowed to look that way. Submit unto you, that's actually the way kings are supposed to look. And we are all royalty. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You're all kings and priests. It's actually the way you're supposed to be looking. You have been so entwined with performance, you actually don't even know how to get it out of your life when it comes to the kingdom of God and the king of the kingdom. You think that he accepts you based upon your person. You think he loves you based upon your holiness and your goodness. Let me set you free this morning. That is a lie from the pit of hell. If he loved you based upon your performance, you'd go to hell. You'd go straight to hell. Not pass go. Do not collect. You'd go straight to hell. In fact, you might even spontaneously combust here if it was based upon your performance. And you're in the church. You've got your holy face on today. God's love for you has zero to do with you. Zero. Has everything to do with him. And if that ever affects you, it will change your performance in the blink of an eye. The best example that I have is you've all, I don't know how you, about all of you, but many of you know that at one point as a Christian, after Bible college, I, your pastor, Steve Castle, got into adultery for years. You know what rescued me from adultery? The love of my wife. Love changed my behaviors. Grace changed my behaviors. This is why I preach this message so adamantly, so powerfully. Because love changed me. You know, love can change you. You think that love is weak, sissified. That's the opposite of what love is. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, love, God's kind of love, never fails. Do you know anything else in the Word of God that says never fails? God's love is one of the most powerful forces on the universe, in the universe. And we give it a back seat to how we live our lives. You have been driven towards performance. And even in the body of Christ, you hear us stand up here and talk about, hey, you should probably think this way. You should confess this way. You should pray this way. Spend this much time in the Word. So, okay, well, if I do all these things, then everything's going to be perfect. No, these are suggestions for you to respond to the kingdom of God in faith. These aren't the 10 bullet points for your performance to get lined up for God to pour out innumerable amounts of blessings for you. And this I say, lest any of you be beguiled by enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. You want to know what kind of performance God's looking for? Your trust in him. Your belief in the finished work of the cross. You trusting in his love for you. You believing in his grace for you. You believing in him blessing you then, 2,000 years ago, not now. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, right? As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. It's one of the most powerful verses in the whole Bible. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. Or let me say it this way. How holy were you before you got born again? Were you tithing before you got born again? Were you fasting before you got born again, right? You were doing all the confessions of God. You were reading your Bible diligently before you got born again. You were spending hours and hours in prayer before you got born again. In fact, the only reason you got born again was to put the little cherry on top of your already perfect Christian life. Anybody? The reason you got born again is because you were messed up. See how I did that right there, baby? I didn't say something stupid. You were beyond repair. You were unable to fix you. You tried. You failed. You were lost. You had no direction. You were hopeless. The best thing you could look forward to is TGI Friday or a vacation. Come on now, that's a worthless way to have an existence. God loved you and called you into the kingdom. God invited you into His love, invited you into His salvation because you were a sinner. You were lost. You believed in the goodness of God while you were completely broken, completely lost, completely unlovable according to your standards. Romans 5:8 says that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you when you were a sinner. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. The way that you're supposed to be living the Christian life is the way that you started the Christian life. The way you started the Christian life was, I'm a loser and I need Jesus. So the way you should live your Christian life is, in myself, in my own flesh, in my own performance, and in my own ability, still a loser. I need Christ. I need to trust in Him. I need to trust in His finished work. And then all these things will be added unto me. But you think now that you're born again and you're so mature in the Lord, you're so grown up, you've been following after Him for 20 and 30 and 40 years. I mean, if anybody's got it figured out, you got it figured out, right? You've wrote the books, you've got the outlines, you know exactly what to do on Monday. You've got it all lined up. It's in the perfect method for you to experience God, and you haven't experienced God in years. Amen. Here's what I'd like to offer to you. Chunk the performance plan. Get rid of the outline. Throw away your super cool bullet points. Lay down your notepad. Close your eyes. And remember why you trusted in Him in the first place. Remember why He loved you in the first place. It wasn't because of you. It was because of Him. Trust in Him about your body. You know, we can trust Him with our eternal, eternal destiny. Sight unseen. Nobody in here has had a physical encounter with God that makes you believe that God is going to take care of you for the rest of eternity. God the Father has never vaporized Himself right in front of us and said, by the way, everybody in here, here's a contract, here's a handwritten contract signed in my own blood that everybody in here gets to go to heaven. Yet you believe it. You believe it every day. When things get worse, you believe it more. Thank God, going to heaven one day. Amen. You believe something sight unseen without any promise but the Word of God about your eternity, and you don't trust Him with your body? Ruh-roh, George. You don't trust Him with your finances? Something temporal? Something that, I mean, God can change it like that. You could go home and your refrigerator could be filled with gold. You could open it up while they, look at there. Angels were busy while I was at church. Amen. You could. It's happened before. Didn't Peter go fishing and found a coin in a fish's mouth that paid a year's taxes for two people? I don't know what that is, but if they lived in Illinois, I mean, it would have taken a Titanic. Amen. He caught it in a fish's mouth. I want you to think about that. You know, a fish was swimming around saying, like, Peter, will you please put the hook in the water? I do not have all day long to carry this coin around for you and Jesus. You know, God's the same way for you right now. Will you please put a hook in the water? Will you please just trust me? Lord, we got to pay our taxes. Okay, Peter, go fishing. Lord, totally didn't hear me. I didn't say I wanted to go have a neat hobby. I wanted to waste some time. I said, Lord, we need to pay our taxes. Yes, Peter, go fishing. Jesus and all these weird things he asks us to do all the time. I'm sure the next thing he's going to ask me to do is walk on water, probably. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in him. In him. Walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the performance, established in all your good deeds, established in your principles, in your methods, established in your outline, established in the faith. You know, that's why we're called believers. You know, we're not called believers because somebody drove by the church and said, well, look at all those good Christians out there mowing the lawn. Way to go. They must be believers. What? No, that would make them landscapers. What makes a believer a believer? Not a trick question. Because you believe. You believe. You trust. It's faith. You believe what your Father says. That's what makes you a believer. Right? Is this too complicated? Amen. I know it's warm in here. Y'all stay with me. Amen. Believers believe. Rooted and grounded in the faith. Not in your principles. Amen. Rooted and grounded in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding therein in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through what? Philosophy. Vain deceit. After the tradition of men. What's the tradition of men? Well, somebody comes along and says, hey, here's how I ended up getting prosperous. This step, and then this step, and then this step, and then this step. Oh, okay. Well, then I don't need to trust God anymore because I can trust the steps. Anybody been there? I've read the books. I got all the books. Read them all. And I was as miserable financially as I'd ever been. When I laid down all the books and I just trusted in the one that was rich, made everything work. Amen. God favors you not because of you, but because he's favor. Amen. Amen. Beware lest any man spoil you. Beware. Beware. You know, if I had a sign out in front of my house that said, beware of dog, would you just come tropsing in and being all stupid screaming at me and pointing your finger at me? Of course you wouldn't. We have more fear of a dog than we have fear of a statement like this. Beware. You know, there's vain philosophy, there's deceit, there's traditions of men, and here's the word I want you to focus on, the rudiments of this world. That word rudiments means like the root, the core principles. This world has core principles. This word was only used 7 times in the whole New Testament. It was used twice here in Colossians chapter 2. It was used twice in Galatians chapter 4. It was used twice in 2 Peter chapter 3. And it was used once in Hebrews chapter 5. And every single time it was talking about core deep principles. And these are the things that have messed you up. A core deep principle that's in you right now is performance. Is what's going to get me acceptable unto God. You didn't receive Jesus that way, but for some reason you're walking out your Christian life that way. And I know, listen, most of the blame falls right here, beloved, right here. The leaders in the body of Christ. Because we've taught people how to perform. Dance for Jesus, little monkey. Dance for him good, and then Jesus will bless you. If you don't dance right, well, you'd be cursed with a curse. Right? Isn't that what Mom just said? She was taught by preachers that if you don't tithe, you're cursed with a curse. So her performance was tithe or be cursed. So you know what she did? She absolutely failed because she couldn't tithe. So she was cursed either way she went. And so she would cry out to God. And you know the amazing thing was? God never cursed her. She was lied to. The devil lies. Go read Galatians chapter 3. Those that are in Christ Jesus can't be cursed. You know, you could never give God another penny for the rest of your life, and God will not curse you. If you want to live your life that way. I mean, it's a stupid way to live, but God loves you, stupid. Amen. God loves stupid people. Amen. I was one of them. Paul said, of sinners, I was chiefest. I'll say, of stupid, I was chiefest. I was chief stupid. And God loved me anyway. Rescued me out of stupidity. Gave me Him in whom is all wisdom, all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Beware lest anybody spoil you through all this stupidness. Verse 9, for in Him, in Christ, in Him dwells the full, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I don't have time to break this down. It's not talking about the body of Jesus. It's talking about the body of Christ. You can see that because it's not, it doesn't say in verse 8, after Jesus, it says after Christ. Jesus is the person. Christ is the effect that's left in this world. And so in verse 9 it says, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. In Him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You and I are what is the fullness of the Godhead. And this is why I had to start a church, because if I'd make a statement like that in somebody else's church, they'd kick me out. You know, this world is going to be as full of Christ as you make it. As you make it. If it was up to God, come on now, wouldn't it be full? If it was just up to God. You know, we think we're doing a good job convincing God to be God. God, don't you care about me? God, don't you care about other people? God, don't you know that great Aunt Susie's dying and going to hell? Why don't you save her? Come on, God, do your job. Save somebody, will you? I've been praying for 20 years. Don't you ever care about anybody? Why do I care about Susie more than you? Huh? Amen. You all prayed like that, ain't you? You're going to convince God to want to save people after He sent His Son for the sins of the whole world? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son? And now you're going to convince Him to do more than Jesus? Do more than Jesus? The reason that you have a burden for Aunt Susie is because God placed it there. You know what you should probably do instead of trying to convince God to go save Susie? You should probably go to Susie and tell her that God has already made a way for her to be saved and ask her if she would like to receive it. That'll help Aunt Susie more than 20 years of praying to God to go save her. Oh, amen. Amen. God, please give me some money. Where's God going to get it from? The printing presses in heaven, He's just going to rattle you off a couple $100 bills up. You know, that's called counterfeit. If God made you dollar bills up in heaven, that'd be counterfeit. You know, God would be breaking a law. He'd be a counterfeiter. He'd be breaking a law. God ain't going to do that. God has already placed everything that you need here. Where? In Him. Y'all looking at me like a dog at a new dish. It's in Him. Where's Him? In you. So where is all of your wealth? Well, if it was in me, I'd have it. Really? You know, joy's in you. You know, peace is in you. Faithfulness is in you. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, all the fruit of the Spirit is in you. You know, the gifts of the Spirit are in you. You know, the Creator of the universe is in you. You want to boggle your mind? Think about that. The one that created the whole universe somehow fits on the inside of you. Can we stop with thinking that it's going to be us that's going to move God and realize that God's been moving for 6,000 years trying to get us on page with what He's doing? And then understand that 2,000 years He changed everything at the finished work of the cross? For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know, and most people would amen. I could preach that verse anywhere. Anywhere. I could walk in anywhere and say, do you believe that in Christ all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily? Amen. Preacher, preach it. How about the next verse? How about 10? And you're complete in Him. I've had people actually come in my office and sit down and going through problems in their life and say, I feel so incomplete. And I'm like, okay, I get it. You feel that way. Let me show you a verse. Well, I know what the Bible says, but I know what the Bible says, but in other words, I know what Jesus Christ specifically, purposefully, and verbally spoke to me through the power of the Holy Spirit. but I feel I don't have the right tingle. The hair on the left side of my neck is not standing up as much as the hair on the right side of my neck. You are complete in Him. Hey, gals, single gals. I'm going to get in your sandbox for a minute. I'm not going to look at nobody. Hey, single gals, if you think that that fella is going to complete you, you have been deceived by vain philosophy and the rudiments of this world. Single people in general. Hey, married couples, if you think that that money, that income level is going to complete you, if you think that that healing is going to complete you, if you think that that one thing that you really, really believe in God for, that's when you'll be complete. That's when it'll really start for you. That's when it'll kick off. When your business takes off and when your health takes off, then you'll be complete. You are healed. You are blessed. You are rich. You are saved. You are filled with peace. You are filled with joy. You are filled with power. You are greatly loved. Are now. I don't care what you feel like. The devil is great at making you feel certain ways. I'll tell you this. You believe that, your feelers will change. Your feelings and your emotions are not supposed to be a dictator to your life. You have a God. His name is Jesus Christ. It is not feelings and emotions. God is bigger than your emotions. Please, I beg you, get out of the performance mentality that makes you think that God's going to accept you based upon your person. God is no respecter of persons. Does not respect you based upon your person. He respects you based upon Christ Jesus and His finished work that you've allowed to be a part of your life. That's why you're accepted in the Beloved. I know this goes contrary to everything you've ever done. You've been taught real good by the church and by the world on how to perform. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry, for real. I'm repenting for anybody that's ever done that to you. But you have got to break that in your life. You've got to repent and change the way you're thinking and get out of performance mentality. I could go way deeper on this, but I know it's been a long week for a lot of folks. If you don't get out of this, the rest of your Christian life will be, honestly, the most frustrating thing that you could ever done, so much so that you'd be willing to walk away almost from Christianity because you're not seeing what you think you should be seeing. Because you think that your performance is going to get it for you. Let me tell you this. If Jesus can't get it for you at the cross, you think your performance is going to get it? For real? If Jesus can't get it for you at the cross, you think you can get it? Now that is haughty. And that is prideful. Jesus got it. Anybody know what happened on the third day? He was raised from the dead. You know what that means? God accepted His offering. God accepted His perfect offering. It's accepted by God. And you're accepted in Him. You're complete in Him. He's the head. You're the body. He's the head. You're the body. Amen? Amen. I'm going to pray this over you. I'm actually going to break on purpose. I'm going to pray a prayer of faith. And I'm going to break this mentality in you. But you're going to have to receive it and walk it out. You are in Him, but that's different than your walk. Right? There's therefore now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. Your walk is different than your position. Your position is in Him, and in Him you are complete. But the way that you walk this out is going to depend upon whether you really truly believe this and activate it in your life or not. Amen. All right, if you're ready to have some stuff broke off you, then attach your ears and your heart to this prayer. Father God, Daddy, I come before you humbly as the shepherd of this flock that you have placed me in charge of, and I'm supposed to watch over their souls. And because of you placing me in that position, I believe that you've called us into this. And so, Father, I come before you humbly. I come before you purposefully. And I ask for revelation knowledge for everyone in this room, for everyone on that video and on that podcast. For revelation knowledge to right now filter into their hearts the depths of who they are. And that it breaks in Jesus' name. This idea, this vain philosophy, and this concept of the rudiments of this world that makes them believe that some reason their performance affects and moves you. I break that in Jesus' name. I command those lies of the enemy to fall off them as if it was scales from their eyes the way it fell off the Apostle Paul. And I command that they get out of the rat race that is not a part of this Christian life. That the Christian life is about resting in the promises of God and not about performing like a monkey for their father. Father, I thank you that right now these words are seeping into the deep places of who they are and changing their lives. And I proclaim this now in power through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And if you agree, say amen. 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 Praise God. You're free from that in Jesus' name. You're free from that in Jesus' name. All right, stand up so I can pronounce a blessing over you. Amen. I'm going to filter these words into you until this explodes in some of you. We've already got testimonies coming in of people receiving the favor of God, receiving the goodness of God. I'm going to keep pronouncing these blessings until everybody in the sound of my voice is manifesting every part of this. All right, hold your hands out in the universal mode of reception. This is a person that's ready to receive a gift from someone who's given. Your father's a giver, and you're a receiver in Jesus' name. Beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul is prospering. And I pronounce this over you right now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Amen.